Time now for the sunny side of sports with Sonny Young. Hello, Sonny.
Good evening, Yahias.
Sonny, I guess you have a sacrilicious show for us this evening.
Truly sacrilicious, Yahias. Joining us once again on The Voice of America to talk Brazil 2014 is our football guru, David Legg. Sporty World Cup greetings, David.
Thank you, Sonny.
David, all five African teams have now seen action in Brazil. The Desert Foxes of Algeria were the last African team in action in Belo Horizonte, and they fall to Belgium 2-1. Your thoughts, David?
Yes, Sonny. Well, Algeria made it very clear from the start that they were going to get a lot of men behind the ball, very few Algerian attacks, Belgium dominating possession. But then after 25 minutes, as so often happens in this sort of a game, a quick breakaway by the Algerians, a cross, very deep one. And Fagouli, the player we on the sunny side of sport had singled out as the biggest threat coming from Algeria, he was floored. A penalty, Fagouli picked himself up and then very nicely converted it. But as so often happens, Sonny, when you're defending, eventually the cracks emerge. And what the Belgians did do well was bring on a couple of significant substitutes in the second half. Filiani, who's been a bit of a misfit at Manchester United in the season just gone by, he equalized after 70 minutes. And then another substitute who was really lively up front, Mertens, he scored the winner after 80 minutes. It's really sad because I had said on your show last week that the Algerians had been going about their business very quietly, very efficiently. And with 20 minutes left and the Desert Foxes one goal ahead, I was feeling quite good, Sonny. I thought, well, maybe they're going to shock the Belgians, who I must say, for a team being tipped as potential dark horses to win this competition, they looked anything but. Algerians limited up front, well organized at the back, but what a pity they couldn't get at least a point. It now puts a lot of pressure on them. They now, of course, will face South Korea and Russia and may well have to win both games to have any hope of reaching the second round. But still, Sonny, if I was to give them marks out of 10, I would give the Algerians a solid 6, possibly even a 7. They certainly were not embarrassed by the Belgians.
David, the indomitable Lions of Cameroon facing one of those must-win situations Wednesday evening when they play Croatia. Cameroon loses to Mexico 1-0 in its opening match, driving rain in Natal, Brazil. Your thoughts?
Yeah, Sonny, I don't want to become a I-told-you-so analyst on your show, but we did mention that the Cameroonians had become so obsessed, it seems, with their bonuses that I wondered if they had any time at all to practice their football. And I'm afraid so it proved. As you said, awful conditions in Natal, rain sweeping down. But I'm never going to buy these weather excuses if the Cameroonians are offering them, because the weather conditions were equally bad for both teams. I'm sure the Mexicans would have liked a firm, dry surface as well. The truth of the matter is the referee made a few marginal decisions and a few really bad ones. And although Mexico in the end won 1-0, courtesy of a goal by Peralta after 61 minutes, the Mexicans would not, Sonny, have been flattered by a 3-goal victory. Cameroon, very little to offer up front. The great Samuel Eto'o, not seeing an awful lot of the ball. He did come close once in the first half. And it was only really in the last 10 minutes that the Cameroonians, I think, awoke from their slumber. And they did start pushing forward down the wings and getting in the crosses. And there was one fine save by the Mexican goalkeeper. But without a shadow of a doubt, Sonny, Mexico were the better team. And in fact, Cameroon were flattered to only lose by 1-0. They demanded an awful lot in their bonuses for playing in this tournament. And with 2 games to go against Croatia and then against the host nation, Brazil, they're really going to have to up performances if they're going to justify to the Cameroonian people that they're worth all this money that they demanded.
David, Cameroon's neighbor, Nigeria, also off to a rather disappointing start in Brazil. The African champions Super Eagles play to a goalless draw against Iran in their World Cup opener. Your thoughts?
Yes, Sonny, so predictable. Everybody's lashing out at Stephen Keshi. But, you know, when I watched that match, Stephen Keshi was on the touchline. He wasn't playing. There were 11 Super Eagles out there on the field. And I'm afraid, Sonny, they just didn't click. They hardly created any chances. Iran were what I would call a very honest side. They clearly had not much belief that they could win the game, so they packed their defense. They had a lot of local players in their team as well. And afterwards, they were ecstatic. Carlos Quiroz, their coach, former Manchester United assistant manager, he said he was sorry that the Brazilian crowd had booed his team, but for them, a point was, it was almost like winning the World Cup. But this, Sonny, this was the game we said all along that the Super Eagles really had to win. And what it means now is they're going to have to beat Bosnia-Herzegovina, I think, to have any chance of reaching the second round. And the Bosnians are going to be formidable opponents. They did really well against Argentina. The Europeans did lose that match by 2-1, but at no stage were they outplayed or outclassed by Lionel Messi and Company Limited. So really disappointing, Sonny. I see among the critics was J.J. Okocha. He was having a full go at Stephen Keshi, criticizing his tactics, criticizing his substitutes. On the issue of substitutes, I was a little bit surprised they took off Victor Moses early in the second half. He seemed to be one of the more creative players on the field. He was taken off for Shola Abiobi. Another criticism of the Nigerians is they played far too many long balls. But Sonny, they were awful. It was just an incredibly lackluster performance. And I see one of the news agencies said that this match was such an exception to an otherwise great tournament so far. Lots of goals, but this one, it was called a turgid match. And I think that about sums it up. I think it's a game that the Nigerians will want to forget as quickly as possible. Be positive, look forward to the Bosnian game. But whereas before, a draw with Bosnia might have been enough, it now looks like the Super Eagles are going to have to win that game. Perhaps, Sonny, the fact that they'll be up against tougher opposition that may come at them more, which will open up passes, maybe this will help. Because the situation with Iran was that if Nigeria had scored an early goal, they probably would have won the match by 2 or 3 goals. But as we've seen so often in the past, at club and international level, the longer these matches go on goalless, the more the underdogs gain spirit. And in the end, the Iranians were well worth their point, but very disappointing for Nigeria. This was the game that everybody, I believe, in Nigeria felt was the guaranteed 3 points in the group. And remember, the Nigerians' last game is against Argentina. The two countries have met 4 times in the World Cup, and Argentina have won all 4 matches.
David, the elephants of Ivory Coast, the only side of the 5 African teams in Brazil to emerge with 3 points and a victory from its opening match, Ivory Coast 2-1 in Recife, Brazil. Your thoughts on this match, David?
First of all, it was rather bizarre for us here in Africa in that here in South Africa, the match kicked off at 3:00 in the morning. And even in West Africa, in Abidjan and the other cities in the Ivory Coast, it kicked off at 1:00 in the morning. There was a lot of anxiety before Ivory Coast finally emerged 2-1 winners. The Japanese, they were as busy, as fit, and as fast as I predicted on your show previously. And Honda scored a brilliant goal to give them the lead. But the Ivorians were creating a lot of chances, and the game turned early in the second half. First of all,
hi, Didier Drogba, striker from Ivory Coast.
Didier Drogba, that iconic striker, he came on, and it seemed to have an immediate effect on the whole team. Boni scored a superb equalizer, an unstoppable header. And then Jovino, who you don't normally associate with headed goals, he scored what really was a soft winner. I don't think the Japanese goalkeeper ever wants to see the video of that match. He fumbled the ball and let it trickle over the line. And in the end, the Ivorians were worthy 2-1 winners. Now, they're looking good, Sonny. Of course, Africa normally do get one team through to the second round. And I think if Ivory Coast, let's for a moment forget about Colombia, who won their match 3-0. But if Ivory Coast can beat Greece, that will give them 6 points, and it should be enough to see them through. But frankly, Sonny, on their performance against Japan, I don't see the Ivorians going much further than the second round. They were not particularly impressive.
David, the Black Stars of Ghana, after eliminating the USA from the past two World Cups, Germany 2006 and South Africa 2010, this time around, the Americans prevail 2-1 in hot and steamy Natal, Brazil. Your thoughts on the USA victory, David?
Sonny, I think this just might have been the most enjoyable match I've watched so far in the World Cup. Unfortunately, not enjoyable from a results point of view, because, of course, we had sort of discounted in this group of death the Americans. We thought of Ghana, we thought of Portugal, and we thought of Germany. And we forgot all about the team that very proudly sang the national anthem.
Oh, say can you see by the dawn's early light what so proudly we hailed at the twilight's last gleaming?
And then within 30 seconds, Clint Dempsey scored, and that really was unforgivable. The Ghanaians were fast asleep, and in a sense, they never really recovered from that. They did get their composure back to some extent. Pretty predictable, though, the Black Stars, always going down the right flank and crossing the ball. And the American defenders, big guys, were very strong and very brave. And it was 82 minutes before the Ghanaians finally got an equalizer through Andre Ayew. And I thought, well, that's it. It's going to be 1-1. But lo and behold, the Americans, they were in that mood. They were not prepared to give an inch. And 4 minutes from the end, one of the Germany-born players in the American squad, John Brooks, he had come on as a substitute. He had all the space, Sonny, and all the time in a penalty area from a corner to head the ball into the net. Really slack defending. And it's interesting, Stephen Keshi, the Nigerian coach, he said